The conference is now being recorded.
Good afternoon, and I would like to welcome everyone to the Jupiter Mines Q4 call. Today we have Jupiter Chief Executive Officer Priyank Thapliyal to provide a brief update on the fourth and final quarter of the 2019 financial year. And then we will open up to questions from callers. Thanks, Priyank.
Thanks, Bree. Well, good evening, everyone. It's my pleasure to welcome all of you on our final quarter activities report call. I am joined by our Finance Director, Melissa North, who is also on the call, and we will try our best to answer all your queries between the two of us. If I can clarify, this is a quarterly activities report. The final results and the audited accounts will be released towards the end of May, and at that time, we will host another call to go through the financial aspects in more detail. But it is almost a year since our listing, and as management and board of Jupiter, we are very pleased to say that we have delivered everything which we said at the time of the IPO during the roadshow and at the presentation subsequent to that. The net result is that in this financial year, 2019, we have produced and sold 3.5 million tons. That is a record for the Tshipi production against our target of, as I've said on various occasions, 3 million tons. We have sold about 500,000 tons more. And again, as I've emphasized time and again, it is largely our strategy that we try to build our business plan on our 3 million tons, 36.5% lumpy product, which is 85% of that and 15% is fines. And then depending on the market, whether the market can take it, what is the position of our stockpile, but more importantly, what is the road or rail to the sea availability, the prospects of that and the availability of that, that drives what we call our milking the cow strategy, where we try to move our lower grade lump and fines products. So last year we were able to achieve 3.5 million tons because everything aligned and the product was there. And that has reflected in the financial numbers as we have already declared our second half dividend of 2.5 cents, and in the first half we paid 5 cents. So again, by all stretch of imagination, it's better than what any one of us anticipated. In terms of the financial aspects, Melissa has in our financial report mentioned the numbers in Australian dollars, but as you know, Tshipi is a South African asset and their functioning currency is the rand. So on that basis, for this financial year, we have sold 10.5 billion rands worth of product, resulting in almost 575 million rands of EBITDA. I'm very proud to say that we paid almost 1.5 billion rands in tax to the South African Treasury and approximately 500 million rands worth of royalties to the South African Treasury. So the tax and royalties which we've paid is approximately 2 billion, which again, we are very proud to say that we produced a lot of profit in South Africa. So this was what was due to the government and that is what we have paid. And the net income has been 3.75 billion rands. In terms of the costs have been a little bit higher this quarter, and that's largely a function of us having to move more product on the road versus the rail. But on an annualized basis, again, against the targets which we set for the management team, we are approximately 5% lower than the budget. The numbers for the final quarter are much better than the third quarter of this year, and it's largely a function of the seasonality of the business. In the final quarter, due to the Chinese winter, most of our product which is sold is the high-grade lumpy product, whereas in the other quarters, it is a mixture of the high-grade lumps, fines, plus the low-grade lump and fines. So that is why the profitability as far as the EBITDA is concerned is substantially higher in the final quarter compared to the third quarter of last year. And again, I think, as we have said in our previous announcements, the dividend date, the ex-dividend date is the 6th of May, and the final dividend will be paid on the 21st of May. Marketing, again, whatever we've produced, we've sold, and we have achieved prices very close to the metal bulletin price. And the other channels which have sold for Chippy have also achieved prices broadly in alignment with that. So that's as far as the Chippy business is concerned. As board and management of Jupiter, we try to make sure that all the assets work as efficiently and as hard for the shareholders, for their benefit, so that we can pay as much dividend every 6 months to the shareholders. And in that spirit, we have recently started a process to see what is the best strategic options for our iron ore assets. And I think, as we have said in the announcement, we are very clear that none of the dividends coming from South Africa will be diverted to develop those projects. So we've just started the process. We will see how it goes. But I think as shareholders, I want to assure you that none of the dividends will be diverted from the South African asset. As I said on numerous occasions, that money, that dividend belongs into the shareholders' pocket. So nothing will be done which basically compromises that. So I think that's really what I wanted to cover on this call, and with that, I would like to open it up for questions.
Thank you, Priyank. I'm Bree from Express Virtual Meetings, and I'll be conducting your question and answer session. Guests are invited to ask questions by pressing star one on your telephone keypad now. You'll be placed in a queue. Please listen for your name, and I will introduce you through to the call. Now, firstly, we do have Mark Fashira from Foster Stockbroking.
Congratulations on the result. Just a question on the operating cash flow. I just noticed in the table on page two, it was quite low relative to the profit after tax. And if I look at the previous quarters, the net cash from operating activities usually was in line with the NPAT. So I was just wondering what the reason there was for the lower operating cash flow.
Mark, I think the reason is that, as I think we said at the time of the second dividend, which we declared about a month or so ago, is that in the second half, we have to catch up on the tax and the royalties. So this is net of the 1.15 billion of the tax and royalties, which we have paid in the final quarter about a few weeks ago. So yes, it looks strange from that perspective because it takes care of that tax and royalties which we've paid only, I think, a few weeks ago.
Right, okay. So in essence, it's like a squaring up of any taxes and royalties you've paid previously.
Yes, yeah. So if we have overpaid, then we have to deduct that. If we have underpaid for some reason, we have to compensate for that.
Right. And just a follow-up question, I noticed on the in terms of the volume mined versus the production, the looking at sort of the strip ratio, it seems higher than the previous quarters. Was there any was there any reason behind that? And I guess that might have contributed to the higher costs as well.
Yeah, there are two reasons that I mean, nothing was like you planned on a spreadsheet. So I think there was maybe a ship or two which was moved from the third quarter to the fourth quarter, so firstly that. But secondly, I think, as I said during the call, it is largely because most of the product which was sold in the final quarter was the high-grade lumpy product, which you get a better realization compared to the previous quarters where we sold the high-grade lump, the low-grade lump, fines. As I said, the market was there, the logistics channels were there, and we thought that the best thing is for us to do is to sell that product in that market. So it's largely a function of those two things. But Melissa has all the details, and she can clarify if you've got any other questions.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. Next, we have Peter Crane, private investor.
Oh, hello, Priyank. And look, I think you're doing a wonderful job and keeping all your promises, so thanks for that. Just a quick query. The interim dividend, the record date was about a week after the announcement, but with the February announcement, the dividend record date is 11 weeks after the announcement. Is there any reason for those delays?
Yes, Peter, it's the law of the land. We cannot declare our final dividend till we have announced and published our audited results. So that will only be done, I believe, towards the end of April. And that is why the ex-dividend date is about a week after that.
Fully understand. All right, thank you very much.
Thanks, Peter.
Thanks, Peter. Next, we have Peter Jones, private investor.
Hi, thanks for conducting the conference. I just wanted to follow up on what I think a previous or the first question was getting at in relation to production as a percentage of mined volume. It seems that it's been falling quarter on quarter all year, and that decline in fact accelerated in the last quarter. So production, not so much sales, but production as a percentage of mined volume. Are you able to comment on the circumstances there, and is that something you expect to continue to decline?
No, Peter. I mean, as I said, and I think it was mentioned in the IPO prospectus, but in the other documentation also, we try to operate everything on a life of mine strip ratio basis, which is, I think, at a high level, almost 10.5:1. And I think that's the spirit of at which the team on the ground basically operates. That's how they do their mine planning. I think we probably mentioned in one of our reports, in the last quarter we hit a fissure, so that affected some of the mining, and it's largely a catch-up for that. So there's nothing more than that.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much for that.
Thanks, Peter.
Thanks, Peter. Next, we have Angus McMillan from Argus Media.
Hi there. Just two quick questions on electricity. Is GP Bora being impacted at all by load shedding? And what sort of impact could there be on the big above inflation price increase that Eskom has been granted for this next year, in fact, for the next 3 years?
So, Angus, thanks for the question. In response to your first query, we really are not relying on the Eskom grid. We have our substations which generate the power. As we have said on numerous occasions, it's a very simple operation. It's like drill, blast, shovel, truck, take it to your loading station and put it on the rail. So the power requirements are not much. There's no beneficiation. There's no upgrading.
Yep.
There's no chemical processing, no tailings dam, those sorts of things. So
right.
We really do not have enough power requirements.
Okay.
And at the time we built the mine, the situation was not that good. So we built our own power plant.
You can be glad you're not producing ferromanganese then.
No. I mean, we've always said our undertaking was to build a world-class mine, and we've more or less delivered that, and we are going to stick to that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Angus. There's no further questions. Priyank?
Great. On that note, I would like to thank everyone for dialing in, and let's hope the next year is as good as this one, and we'll do our best to make it happen. Thanks a lot.